Soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Easter blessings to Infinite Way students around the world from the island of Kauai. I wish to thank all of you who have taken the time to write me during the past 2 months. I have a large packet of letters, maybe 200 of them, from students who have reported to me many experiences, many joyous and wonderful breakthroughs into the higher levels of consciousness. Some have reported divine ecstasy. Others have told me about unusual soul visions. And all I can say is that something wonderful is in the wind. We are breaking through into higher dimensions. And it appears that we are just beginning to enter the first threshold of the finished kingdom of God. Possibly the group meditations have had a lot to do with this at 7 p.m. California time. There certainly has been a good response to them and a deepening that many of us have felt. So it is important that we continue these. And with your kindness, I will set forth a suggested idea on the reverse side of this tape, which I think will help lift us even higher into spiritual understanding. Our world today is not much better than we saw it yesterday. It still seems to be a confused international situation. And somehow the words of Scripture are not making connection with the religious mind of man. The human race continues to be a corpse lying within a cave, entombed, stagnant, unfed by the divine spirit, separated from God. And today, we have an opportunity to help roll away the stone covering that cave, at least for ourselves, as a preliminary to removing it from the world mind. You will find the cause of the human problem very dramatically revealed by Mary, the daughter of, the sister of Lazarus, in the scene where Jesus arrives in Bethany, just a few furlongs out of Jerusalem. He's greeted by Martha, the sister who represents the head, as contrasted to Mary, who represents the heart. Mary is very distraught. Oh, if you had been here, this could never have happened. She's completely beside herself, but he appeases her, he consoles her. He tells her that I am the resurrection. And she finally has lost her fear, and she's quite excited about the fact that he's here now and he's going to do something to bring her brother forth. And she rushes back to Mary, who's in the house. Mary representing the inner consciousness instead of the outer. But even the inner consciousness of Mary pulls a fatal error. She comes forth, she looks at Jesus, and she says, "Oh, Lord, if you had been here, my brother never would have died." What reminded me of that statement of Mary's was a newsletter received this week about the return of Jesus, the return of the great spiritual guide and counselor of the world. And, of course, if I haven't heard it once or 100 times, I have heard it 10,000 times, as all of us have. Sometimes the writer is convinced that Jesus will return in the same form. Other times they're convinced that Jesus will return in another form. Always the great Messiah is going to return. And here now Mary, looking straight at Jesus, says, "Oh, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Do you know what his answer to that was? He looked at this dear woman whom he loved, whom he had instructed, whose brother he had instructed, and the words cut him like a slap in the face. He groaned in the spirit, the Bible says, and he wept. Was it sadness at Lazarus' death that made him groan and weep? Or was it something that all of us should now take a long, hard look at? Are we making the same mistake that Mary made? Do we believe that the Spirit of God has been away from this earth and that it can return? Do we believe that Christ is over there and we are over here? That separation between God and man, because of the ignorance of the presence of Christ, is the crux of the entire human problem. It's the key to the kingdom. I am the vine. Without me, you can do nothing. And here's Mary, completely unaware of the vine, completely unaware that Christ in her is the same as Christ in Jesus, making this fatal error, which has survived 2,000 years and is still separating man from God. So that's why I call this Resurrection Day. We're going to, possibly, rise from the dungeon of disbelief. And we're going to, by our deeds, not just our words, declare to those who are in our circle, and those who are exposed to our consciousness, that the incorporeal Christ is present now on this earth, has never left, and is even now preparing and performing the great works of lifting the pure at heart into the glories of heaven on this very earth where we stand. You and I have a function, a great and wonderful opportunity to release our own divinity into daily expression. We are here to become clear channels for the will, the power, the grace, the love of God. And we have one ally, only one, in this bold venture into truth, and that is the living Word of God. We need divine truth, for it is the only truth that can roll back the stone of ignorance and let in the light of life that unites us with the Infinite Father. Divine truth will open the door of the tomb and release the captive. Now, if you look back on all your readings in the Bible, you will find one unusual fact. Nowhere, neither by the disciples of Jesus, nor by those who have written about him at other times, other than at the very moment of the 3 years that he walked the earth, nowhere has anyone revealed how he looked, what his physical appearance was. Was he short? Was he tall? Was he slender? Was he sturdy? Were his eyes hazel, blue, or brown? Was his hair and his beard auburn, gray, black, brown, blonde? Do you know? Do you really have any idea of anyone who does know? Even John, who walked with him, who loved him, who told us mostly about the inner workings of the consciousness of Jesus. He never told us about the physical appearance of Jesus. And so finally, it should come to us as a very strong possibility that the absence of all description about the physical appearance of Jesus may have something to do with the fact that Spirit was telling us that he was incorporeal. You see, Jesus was love expressing, appearing on a mission of love to reveal to all who walk this earth possibilities undreamed of by the human mind. The love expressed by Jesus was so vast, so deep, so limitless, that if you and I could learn to love God just 1/10 of 1 degree of the way that God has loved us and is loving us right this moment, our lives would be transformed overnight. The extent of that divine love which surrounds us now is worthy of your very deepest consideration. God has given you his life. God has given you a perfect divine body. God has given you a kingdom to live in. God has given you his love, his wisdom, his harmony, his grace. God has given you eternal freedom. God has given you eternal peace. God has given you wholeness, completeness. God has given you infinite goodness. God has given you his perfection. And God has given you the keys to attain all these treasures of the kingdom. You are heir to all the heavenly riches. And that word heir has frightened most people. They have put the word heir into tomorrow. Tomorrow I will inherit the kingdom. Oh no. I in the midst of you is the Spirit of God where you stand saying, I am now, I am alive. I in the midst of you am the Christ, the incorporeal self. And I am the key to the kingdom. Our big mistake for thousands of years has been the universal misbelief that God placed us in dying bodies, or that the life of God in some way was in these dying bodies. And while we were doing that, we were saying to our own divine body, stay away till I die. I don't want you now. I'm heir. Only when I die can I inherit my divinity. Not true. God has been trying, through the prophets and the great teachers, to take you out of a dying body. And the human race has been clinging to that dying body as if it were the passport to heaven. I am the vine. I in the midst of you. I in the midst of you am your identity. Your identity is the vine. I in the midst of you. I your identity. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Those beautiful treasures given to you by God are the fruit that come into your life when you are living in the awareness that your identity is the only connection to God. And when you live outside of that identity, You are the branch separated from God that cannot bear the fruit of divinity. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. There you have the message that infinity is the nature of heaven. Infinity is the nature of divinity. There's no end to the fruitage. It is continuous. Constantly, you're on an upward progression, bearing new faculties, new expressions, new experience, new fulfillment unto eternity. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This vine, this identity, this is the greatest expression of divine love that is possible. For it is God in you, called Christ. And when you are living as a human form and not as Christ, you are separated from the infinite. You are not bearing fruit, and you are purged like any branch would be if it were dead on the tree of life. In our rising to higher consciousness, we learn that earth is a trial run. Your soul is being initiated through four phases. You've gone through the mineral phase, the vegetable phase, the animal phase, and you're now in what is called the human phase, the human day, the fourth day of creation. But in this fourth day, this human day, we are still unevolved. Our soul is still struggling to find its own home, the fifth world of soul. And that which holds us back from entering the threshold of this kingdom is the belief that we are in a human form that must die. It is not true. It never was true. Religion has not taught the untruth of it. And instead, religion has taught us to wait. That someday we will be blessed if we do thus and thus and thus. And meanwhile, your incorporeal body, your Christ body, is waiting for you to say, "This is my body, here is where I live." And you know it is so. To say, "I am the Christ," and then to live in a human body is ridiculous. The Christ has a Christ body. To say, "I am the Christ," and then to live out of a human mind is foolish. The Christ has a Christ mind. And therefore, when you say, "I am the Christ," which many of us have said for so many years, you must say, "I am the Christ body. I am the Christ mind. And herein is your Father glorified." And to say it is not enough, is it? If I am the Christ, if I am the Christ body, and I am the Christ mind, I must rise above the belief and the practice of living in a human sense of body, in a human sense of mind, in a human sense of identity. And this is the vine, the Christ mind, the Christ body, the Christ identity, and the Christ qualities. All yours now, if you would live in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the love of God is an incredibly vast and beautiful bestowal upon man. You can never be blind. You can never be crippled. You can never be sick or suffering. These are the temptations to believe that you are not the Christ body. And so when these occur in your life, you are called upon to look at them with the knowledge that divine love does not permit this to be a reality. All these negations, these errors, these so-called evils or lacks or limitations exist only in the trial run of unreality. And that is another expression of your Father's love. You can never suffer. You can never lack. You can never be limited. Only the human mind can think so. And when you have the capacity developed to stand above the human mind and to let its lies and its deceits and its temptations and its illusion strike your true consciousness, you can say with ease, "Get thee behind me, Satan. This is not divine love." Now these things too that come in the unreality are a signal to awaken you to the fact that you are living in a human body instead of your divine body. You are living corporeally instead of incorporeally. And the vine advises you that if you abide in me, you will bear fruit richly. And that abiding means that you must rest in the Christ mind. You must allow yourself to trust your own divinity to take you through every situation. All error is made in the mortal dream. Even your death takes place in unreality. It is your present concept of body and your present concept of mind that is the basic problem. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You've been through the birth of water. You're going through the birth of Spirit, in which you accept Christ identity here and now, and then trust your Christ mind to be present and take no human thought. When you take human thought, you are not abiding in the Father, and you are a branch cut off. Every human thought makes you a branch separated from the Father, separates you from all of the treasures of the kingdom. So take no thought for your life, but rather abide in the Christ mind. And that means believe it is present, believe it is now. The Christ mind is your only mind, the one, the infinite, the mind which is one with the mind of God, for they are one. If you do not believe that mind is present, you're going to continue in human thought and you're going to be a branch cut off from the love, from the life, from the freedom, from the supply. You see, your lifeline to God is your Christ mind. For it alone knows your Christ identity. It alone knows your incorporeal, eternal, indestructible Christ body. I in the midst of the Almighty. And so teachers come to earth, and each one sings the great song, the great tiding, that you are the living child of God. And most people on earth say, "Yes, I am, but I live in a human form." And of course, in that moment, they pronounce their own epitaph. Your job and mine is to cooperate with God, to let God, through your Christ mind, show you how to come out of this dying form into your divine body now, and how to live now as the Son of God in the kingdom of God. No one on this earth has a power over your Christ self. And that again is the love of God in expression. You are never at the mercy of a dictator, a fool, a disease, or any so-called material power. Your human body is. And when you appear to be helpless, suffering, lacking, or limited, the love of God is still there saying to you, I am the vine. If you want the fruitage, you must enter the Christ mind, which opens to you the kingdom of the Christ body and the Christ identity. And you are reinstated again into the eternal tree of life. Your divine life is eternally protected. It can never be squandered in a dying human form. It is preserved, and it is always in the consciousness of God, maintained in eternal perfection. That same love is said to you, that no human flesh can enter the kingdom of God, that all human flesh is separated from God. And with this divine truth to lead you, you can enter a union with Source that enables you to dissolve all earthly limitations. But you must remember that for divine guidance, you cannot live in a human body governed by a human mind. You must live as Christ, who is incorporeal. For without Christ, you can do nothing. But with Christ, as Paul said, you can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth you. The secret, of course, is that when you receive the thoughts of God, you are receiving a different substance than you are receiving in your human thought. The thoughts of God are the substance of the kingdom of God. The thoughts of man are the substance of this world, which is a counterfeit of the kingdom. And so, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And in a flash of insight, you can see something very unusual there. Something so electrifying that we wonder why Earthman has walked by without grasping this infinite bestowal of the Father. You see, your body is a thought form. Your human body is an image in thought. Your Christ body is also a thought form, but in the thought of God, a different substance. The body of Jesus was the body of Christ. It was a thought form in God. The body of human beings are thought forms in the human mind, which is a servant of the cosmic mind. Your body, through human thought, is vulnerable, destructible, limited, lacking, susceptible to all manner of so-called errors and evils. But take no thought means the ultimate. Take no thought, for then you will find yourself being transported out of the sense of human body, of human life, of a human world that dies. My thoughts only come to you through the vine of Christ. And when you are in the Christ identity, your Christ mind brings through the thoughts of God. And those thoughts are your perfect divine body. And the activity to govern it, the law of divinity to govern it, the peace, the freedom. And such freedom that you cannot even imagine at this point what it is like to live in a body that is everywhere. A body that doesn't have to be transported in vehicles. A body that never needs surgery. A body that never sees a germ. A body that is not hampered by time or space. A body that does not have to go from here to get there. In our humanhood, we accept certain limitations of body. We know that if we want to go somewhere, our body must go there. And so everywhere we go, we have to drag our body along. We can't go anywhere without our body, and because it can't go to too many places, certainly not at the same time, we are so utterly limited that somewhere along the line, someone has to awaken to the fact that the Christ way is not the way of body limitation. No, the love of God says, you have the body of God. Son, wherever I am, thou art, and I am wherever you are. Son, all that I have is thine. There's a different kind of mobility, freedom, peace, eternality, a body that is alive throughout all time, a body that already has transcended all space. Yes, this is the love of God for you. Abide in me, and you will bear fruit richly. In your Christ identity, you are united with infinity. In your Christ identity, you are in touch with the central switchboard of eternal life. Some people think they can go direct to God without the Christ mind. That seems to be the attitude of most religions on this earth. That is why people pray to God. But without the vine, it's not a prayer. It's an exercise in futility. Christ identity is your lifeline to God. You cannot bear divine fruit, nor can you glorify God without Christ identity. Herein, in Christ identity, is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Abiding becomes a big word in your spiritual vocabulary. Abiding in Christ identity means living above the human sense of life, the human sense of body, the human sense of mind. Not living as Christ incorporeal, we die. We are purged because we are not letting God individualize as the totality of our expression. God must individualize as you. And you must accept one life divine, not the life of a dying body. You must accept the knowledge that the God life, which is ever present and which is the only life, can be the only life that you acknowledge. You must release your personal sense of an individual human life. It's a decoy. It is really Judas in our midst. The life of God can never age, can never be imperfect, can never lack, can never be separated from God. At this moment, you are that life. You were that life before the world began. You were that life while your mother thought she was carrying you in her womb. You will be that life when you lay down this mortal concept of life. And if you can accept the message of the infinite way, the Christ message, and accept now that you are the life of God, the life that never dies or lacks or is limited, the life that is eternally free beyond all time and space, right now and forever, then you are entering that blessed sanctuary of the soul where Christ receiveth of the Father, flows through your soul as the living Spirit of God, with all the treasures of God as the oil of the Spirit, containing every quality of God now, flowing through your very being now, lifting you now out of the limited belief that I am in a human form. I never was, for I am the Christ of God. Come, let us meditate. Let us find the reality that never fades, the reality planted in the midst of us by the love of a divine Father who is forever perfect and whose offspring, whose individualizing must be ever perfect too. Christ is alive. Alive. Oh, no, Christ is not absent from this earth. Christ is a living, eternal substance, and there is no other. Christ is you. Christ is your identity. Christ is the Son of God. Christ is your life, your being, your radiant divine self now. Christ is your only self now. You have never been a human. We are through with evolving states of materialism. Your human body was only the seed in the visible world that you might find the full blossoming flower called divinity. You are never the self that dies. You are never the self that skips a heartbeat. You are never the body that fears a germ. And do you know why? God created no such body and no such self. It cannot even exist except as a thought in the human mind. You are not living inside a prison called dying body, a body that ages, deteriorates, falls prey to all manner of ill. And you know why? God never made such a body. How could a perfect God make an imperfect body? And so what is it but a mental appearance? And it is not supported by divine law. So shake off the belief. Your identity is Christ, begotten of God. And you will be that living Christ eternally. within yourself, hear the voice. Feel the presence of the voice. Feel God saying to you, through Christ, I am not inside a dying form. I am the life of God. Yes, this is my identity. I am the life of God. And now this is yourself speaking. I am the life of God. I was conceived by God. Before the world existed, I was given the Spirit of God as my permanent body. And I treasure that permanent body. I was given the consciousness of God as my permanent consciousness. I treasure that consciousness. I was given the love of God. And I treasure that love. It is ever with me. I was given the power of God. It is ever with me. The wisdom of God is mine always to guide me. And I trust that wisdom to be present and alive. Slowly, it becomes clear that there never has been a personal me. There has been an image in mind, a whole complex variety of concepts congealed into one concept called me, composed of human thought. That human form, conceived in a moment of time, repeated through other moments of time, through other years and other lifespans, that cosmic concept has never been me. It has always been a thought form. It has always been an image in thought. It has never been the thought of God. This moment, not in passing time, but in the eternal now, this eternal moment, outside of the illusions of time, here and now I am the living Christ. Always, without ceasing, God is individualizing as my perfect Christ body, which is incorporeal, made of pure divine spirit. And all the qualities of my divine Father are expressing now in my Christ body in fullness. Although the human eye sees them not. The power, the wisdom, the love of my eternal Father is ever maintaining His perfection in the living Christ that I am. God the Father, God the Son, and they are God the Father and God the Christ, the only begotten. And that Christ, which is one with the Father, which is the only begotten, that is my name. That is who I am. Hear this within yourself, for it is true. God the Father and yourself, the Christ, are indivisible. You are not becoming, you are being. You are immaculate forever. You are infinite. You are indestructible. You are now. Look over this earth. Who is there? I, the Christ, am there. Christ where this one stands, Christ where that one stands, Christ where the other one seems to be dying. No, no, not true. There is one inhabitant on this earth, one inhabitant in this universe, God the Father, God the Christ, one. God the living Christ is the only inhabitant of this earth, and that I am. One infinite Christ I am, independent of every human appearance called form. I am choosing God, not mammon, Christ, not person. I am not saying I am Christ. I am accepting the Father's declaration that I am the only begotten Son. Where is your karma? You left it the moment you learned who you are. All karma is in a human body. Your divine body is under divine law. Can you at this moment know that I cannot be Christ and have a human body? That my acceptance of a human body is my rejection of Christ. Can you know that? And can you let that knowing become your way of life? Can you dwell there a moment? I cannot be Christ and have a human body, but I am Christ. I cannot have a human body and be Christ. But I am Christ. I must have a divine body. I cannot be Christ and think with a human mind that someday will not even exist. They're going to pickle my brain someday. That's not the Christ mind. Why should I live now in a brain that I know will someday be dead? It's like living in a dead brain. Oh, it seems so alive, but it is not the Christ mind. Every time I take human thought, I dishonor the Christ mind by rejecting it. And so I, as the Christ, can put a finger to the lips, a finger to the brain, and say, "Peace, be still. It is I. There's no storm. Oh, there's no flood. There's no disease. There's no death. Did you think you were crippled? Pick up thy bed. What did hinder thee? You have a Christ body." Christ has been saying that to us all for 2,000 years. And before Jesus, Christ said it for another 3 billion years. Christ has always been. When Jesus came into this appearance, that was the living Christ coming to you in a form to which you could relate, saying, "Follow me, do what I am doing, for I am thee." And that same Christ is here now, performing, perfecting, maintaining, sustaining, teaching. It is still the vine of God. It is still the only teacher this earth will ever know. Because it is the only identity this earth will ever know. All else is foolishness. Human imagination. The dying concepts of a dying brain. Your divine self has a divine body now under divine law. And every time you look out at something that's seeming to be not under divine law, your Christ mind will tell you that isn't there. It isn't real. Only that which is of the Father is real. And so the prodigal son is the human body, the human mind, the human identity. But the prodigal is returned when you are no longer accepting the decoy of a human body. All these years that mankind has been accepting the human body, it has been a branch cut off. Only the divine body is heir to all the heavenly riches. Only the dying human body must run through the illusions of time and space. Your living incorporeal body is divinely free forever. Why not enjoy it? So many say, where is the joy of this work? I work so hard, I study, I meditate. Move into your divine body and no one will have to tell you where the joy is. Your divine body is not separated from source, and God is the joy. If the joy is missing, it's because your human body is separated from source. Out of the mortal dream, out of the human body that dies, God is running your life right now. Your body is under grace right now. And you walk in one consciousness right now in the real paradise. Unconfined. Moving freely. And appearing on earth, you still walk through the illusions of error, independent of your human body. And the kingdom of love, wisdom, freedom, peace is your home. Would you try a meditation? This morning, maybe too late, but tomorrow morning will do, and we'll go through it now. Tomorrow morning, when you awaken, please enter your Christ body. I could phrase it another way and say, enter the kingdom of God, because they are identical. When you awaken and you lie in bed, in order to enter the kingdom of God instead of the world, abide there. In your divine identity. Resting in your divine identity, trust your Christ mind to be on hand. Trust your Christ body to be on hand. Trust the omnipresence of God to be the only presence as your Christ body. Trust the omniscience of God to be the only mind. As your Christ mind, trust the omnipotence of God to be the only power, as your Christ power. And then as you establish this, for 1 hour, just 1 hour that day, from that moment on, dismiss every human thought or seeming human condition that tries to tell you that you are in a material world instead of in the kingdom of divine perfection. Let's run through that again. Tomorrow, awaken. Stay in bed. Get up early if you must, but when you awaken, stay in bed. First, enter the kingdom of God. Consciously, accept your divine identity and abide there. Your divine identity includes Christ identity, Christ mind, Christ body. They are now in the kingdom, and when you are in them, you are in the kingdom. The qualities of your Christ identity are the only presence in the entire universe, the only power in the entire universe, the only mind in the entire universe. You are in a Christ universe, which is the kingdom of God. You must develop the conscious awareness of it by the silence. Contemplate it as long as you wish. Think of all that you are. Think of all that God has given you. Think that you cannot, for the next hour, walk, live, or breathe in a human form. If a man believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If a man believes in Christ, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You are accepting your present perfection without duality. Henceforth, for the next hour, you are knowing yourself not after the flesh, but incorporeally. I and my Father are one incorporeal self, God the Father, I Christ the Son. There is no separation in my Christ self. There is no other self. Find your peace. Find your freedom. Find your eternal life. The life that never dies. Trust it. Believe in it. Accept it. And for the next hour, come hell or high water, live in that Christ identity. And this is loving God supremely, acknowledging God in all your ways. You can do it.